Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Can you do me a favor? Can you open the show something like this?
I fancy myself an idea man of sorts, and I wanted to build the greatest automobile racetrack in the world. First, you see it.
Can you do that for me? I mean, you set the scene there. Set the scene for the show for me with Steve.
Yeah, Tony Knopf's on today. All right, and we just had Vince Welsh on, and tomorrow we have Kurt Smith, Dick Girardi on the Preakness, and also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report.
I'm so moved.
No, but I got people interested in listening to tomorrow's show. I can tell you that. You know, you could sit there and do all the flowery words you want, but at some point you do have to get to the point.
I agree. I mean, and this particular open in 2013 was 2 minutes and 29 seconds, and I was riveted the entire time.
I like the game. I like the race. I like the whatever. Yeah. All the stuff, like, I find myself, in all seriousness, like today, for example, today, and I was only on the back run. I went in to pick up lunch. Okay. And they had on four TVs. One had the NBA Combine on. And I found some interest in that. They were going through their top 15 prospects happened to be and so forth. Yeah, that was interesting. I'm trying to think. NBC Sports Net was doing something on the Preakness, and that was interesting. And then on ESPN2, they were debating who was more impressive getting to the NBA Conference Finals, the Spurs or the Heat. Who cares? They both made it. I really don't think it matters if what was the more impressive feat. I mean, that's why I don't watch this stuff anymore. Okay, I just won't watch this stuff anymore. It's just I look at it, I have no interest in it, and it now translates into every football pregame show, into every sports pregame show, into every. I don't need the preview of the thing. I've seen enough. I want to see the game. That's just me. Well, you said to me why I should do a dramatic open for Ireland. You know what people want to know when we're in Ireland, we do the pregame show? What did I see in the preseason? How good is Penn State?
Just build me up for it, though. I mean,
they're playing in Ireland against Central Florida. It's the opener of the 20th. It's the first game of the James Franklin era, for goodness sakes. Okay, now, Kat,
see, wait. Hold on. You're right there. You're on the right track now. Now you just have to grab the emotional moment. You've got the right idea, though. See, I'm gonna teach you how to do this yet.
Roger opens the game. Jack and I just sit there and watch him.
Oh. And then it all went away.
We're information people. All right? Fluff people give you 5 hours of fluff. We try to give you 5 hours of info.
Tell me the story.
I do tell you the story. Wins one award, thinks he can tell everybody what to do. All right.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, our go-to guy. Tony, welcome back.
Great to be on.
I'll start on a little different tack today. The Indianapolis 500 is going to be taking place on Memorial Day. Verizon just jumped in very late with sponsorship of a tour. What, if anything, do you know about that? And is there any value to it, considering where the state of auto racing is today? Okay, there we go. Tony, I was asking you about the Verizon deal with IndyCar. I think IZOT had been with them, and they dropped.
They did.
So for Verizon, which is a major name and a major player, I don't see big crowds and I don't see big ratings. Why do they do this?
You know, what they do is about how they're selling their services, and whether those are phones, whether that's Fios, whatever else, and they're trying to find those niche markets. So not every play for Verizon is going to be like their NFL play. They have a very big play in the NFL. I think what they're looking at here is they're looking at an opportunity to reach specific people. And, you know, the price point will generally match that. IZOD, you know, I from what I've seen with them and from their approach to sponsorship, it's not as tangible as it is at a Verizon. So I'm not surprised that they went in and maybe didn't see the ROI they were anticipating. I would be pretty confident in Verizon's ability to do that. And if they are approaching that kind of a niche market, they're doing it for a reason, right? They have an approach that they believe, you know, we see it everywhere. MasterCard just did a deal with rugby internationally, you know, to go on top of the football deal that they have, well, soccer to the rest to us.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't think it's a circumstance because, you know, you and I are going to look at that and say, wait a minute, IndyCar racing's dead. That does not help us, but it is not dead to people they're trying to reach. So I'm not that surprised by it, to be totally honest.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting. Because obviously, you know, it's really a one-event tour. You know, it, you know, you'll get a lot of eyeballs in Indianapolis, 200 to 250,000 in the seats and a decent television rating. After that, I mean, really, can anybody tell me when they're running the race at Milwaukee?
Yeah, no, I can't. But perhaps the guys that they're trying to reach can.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to that. And you see that across the sponsorship landscape, right? It's about selling diapers. It's about selling cereal boxes. It's about selling. So it's not necessarily about trying to tie to the biggest, baddest brand out there like the NFL. It's also the opportunity to really sponsor something where you can get more bang for your buck. I mean, otherwise, you know, teams like the Charlotte Bobcats or, you know, perennial losers, they just wouldn't have any opportunity to get sponsorship.
Right.
Does that mean there's not companies out there that are just, you know, flying by the seat of their pants like an IZOD? You know, yeah, there are.
You're trying to get eyeballs to watch you. How careful do corporate partners have to be now? Because it used to be, when I was younger, we had three networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, then, of course, then when CNN, then the ESPN came on, it expanded. But now you have niche networks, MLB, NFL, NHL, NBA, Big Ten, SEC starting in August. Do niche networks play a role in the thought process of corporate partners as to what they do within stadiums, arenas, and also in terms of general advertising?
Yes, 100%. What they're looking at is the entire sponsorship package. How do I get this subconsciously tied to Steve, where when he's watching something he enjoys, he's going to realize Verizon. And then when I go into a commoditized business, they're going to think Verizon. What you see mostly with sponsorships, the most important part here, and why niche markets matter, is a lot of these guys are in a commoditized business, right? If you really take a step back, is there that much of a difference between AT&T and Verizon and the other major players? Is there that big a difference between Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and JP Morgan Chase, right? And to the common person, probably not, right? So they have to try to find ways to get themselves separated. And that does mean sponsoring the big players, the Penn States, the NFLs, you know, the people that are going to get massive audiences. But it also means that there's that incremental dollar that comes from those niche markets. And not only is there incremental dollar that comes from those niche markets, they also usually, when they do a deal like that, build in a right of first refusal.
Right.
And what that means is, I'm going to sponsor this league, I'm going to sponsor this team, I'm going to sponsor this, you know, UFC or whatever it is. And as you grow, I have the right of first refusal on your sponsorship. So if you turn into the next NFL, guess who's getting a wonderful price and keeping my competitors out?
Right. Let's talk about the Clippers for a moment. Now, obviously, with, you know, no matter what happens, okay, the Clippers playoff games are all sold out. They were sold out weeks ago. So that, mm-hmm. that part's irrelevant to the conversation at the moment. How closely are your people watching the Clippers situation play out in terms of corporate partners and in terms of tickets within Staples for it?
Incredibly closely. It's poisonous to be near a brand if that brand stands for what people are tying this to. And all of our partners are looking at that. Most of the partners pulled out after those things were said, and they're not coming back for a little while until there's going to be an absolute change in what the ownership structure is and everything else. And so they are all watching it very closely. And the reality is, Steve, it hits close to home. It's really hard on those guys who work there. I have a lot of friends who work at the Clippers who are great guys, great gals. They're the ones who are affected, right? When hockey went on strike in 2004, I'm the one who lost half my paycheck, not the players, not, you know, all those other guys who are making more money. So it's tough to see, but, you know, when you do ask them, they understand. If I'm a sponsor, I can't be involved in this.
Right. You again, you have to attach your name to something that is a positive for you and them.
Exactly. 100%. And that's the commodity, right? If Steve is, you know, all of a sudden you're up for a new cell phone and you're looking at providers, you know, it's that entire package, right? Do you see Verizon and all of a sudden think, well, wait a minute, the AT&T store is next door and, you know, maybe these guys are tied to, you know, a team that I don't want to be tied to. It's that sort of thing, right? And that's why the sponsors just immediately say, hey, there's just not a lot of gain here and a whole lot of loss. We're gone.
What's interesting is I think there have been some people a bit naive thinking, okay, he's stripped him of his voting rights. He has stripped him of his control of the team. They placed a CEO in place. And they can just get him out and boom, that's it. There'll be new owners. And you and I both know that's not how it works.
No.
Obviously, if new ownership came in, I don't care what group, Oprah Winfrey, Magic Johnson, whomever, they would be a hot commodity.
100%, yeah.
If there is a protracted court fight over this.
There will be.
Give me an idea how much damage could be done, not to the brand of the Clippers, because the new ownership, I think, will bring the brand back. But I'm talking about, you know, what it could do for the thought process of those who will invest, and could it turn them away forever?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very interesting question. So what you're looking at when you're looking at purchasing an NBA franchise is you're looking at purchasing the NBA and the market in general, which is what we've seen with a number of teams. You know, just 3 years ago, Sony bought the Philadelphia 76ers for $256 million.
Right.
And now we just saw the Milwaukee Bucks go for $550 million.
Which is 100.
So how much damage can Sterling do to the Clippers with this prolonged lawsuit, which is coming? This is what he does, right? Those of us in L.A. know this well.
Yes.
He can do significant damage in the short term to the cash flow and to the balance statement of the Clippers and maybe their ability to sign players. But as far as the overall value of the franchise, I think an extended court battle with a villain that everybody can mobilize against is actually going to make the Clippers more valuable, because that new owner is going to come in with a much longer honeymoon period than any other owner in any other sport. It'll be like, I forget the gentleman's name who bought the Islanders when he didn't have any money. He came in and was a hero, even though he didn't have any money for six months because the last ownership was so terrible.
Right.
And I think that's what's actually going to happen here. In the short term, you're going to hear a whole lot of, they could have sold for $1.75 billion. Now it's going to go down because of the court fight. I think they're going to get that number, $1.75 billion.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to make them more appealing. And it's also going to give them carte blanche, right? When you come in and you make changes to a franchise, everybody is upset. I mean, you guys just had significant changes to the stadium and some of the other things you're doing,
yes.
And there was probably a vocal group who didn't want to do that, right? Think about it here. Sterling has burned so many bridges that you're going to be able to come into this franchise and do whatever you want. You could probably change the name, and nobody would care.
Right. The Bucks situation. Forbes had them priced out at 405. They sold for 550, so they got a 145 over what the Forbes estimate was as to what their value was. The Clippers, you're right, will be over $1 billion when it's all said and done. The problem is how much damage will there be? Because you're talking about, even though there's no NFL there, you still have the Kings are there, the Lakers, who dominate the landscape. The Dodgers, who are a dominating force in the landscape, and you still have the Angels in the peripheral, and you still have the Ducks in the peripheral.
Yeah, you know, the most interesting thing about this is, you know, first of all, they get $145 million more than somebody valued them at. I mean, that's, you can't live on that, but it's certainly close, right? It's a start.
I'd give it a shot.
Yeah, exactly. The thing about the Clippers and the landscape here is, as much as this is vile and terrible, what has been done and what has happened to the team and people around them, talk about fantastic timing for whoever the next owner of the Clippers is.
Yeah.
The Lakers are down, right? They're going to be down for a little bit longer now. And this is a great opportunity to come in and really try to take a market. And that does happen. What people don't realize is, you know, in 1988 to 1992, this was a Dodger town.
Right.
And that changed with the lockout. Season tickets for the Dodgers went from 30,000 a year to 11. And that was overnight. It has not come back. I don't think it's past 20 right now.
Right.
That can change with major changes. And man, are the Clippers in a place right now, whoever the next owner is, that, you know, the Lakers are in turmoil. The team's terrible.
Right.
The ownership's under question. They don't have much of a future here. We'll see what happens.
Well, the irony is that it was the NBA that said Chris Paul could not go to the Lakers and that he could go to the Clippers. That's the irony of this. You know that market so well. Give me an idea. How different is a Laker crowd economically to a Clippers crowd economically? How different are the sponsorships?
It is incredibly difficult to explain how different that is to people that have not been to it before. It is literally night and day. I mean, the Laker crowd, they have a totally different layout. They're paying 2 to 3 times as much money to get into the building. You know, they've had season ticket holders that have been there forever, right? People at the Clippers who are sitting at center court have had season tickets for 3 to 4 years, and they're already in the best seats possible. Laker season ticket holders who've had tickets for 20 years are still working their way into better seats. They're maybe in the corners right now.
Right.
It really is a complete difference. It is big brother, little brother. I mean, it would be like describing the amount of coverage Penn State football gets for you guys versus like Pitt.
Right. Okay. I understand that. All right. So that's that part of it. In terms of the corporate partnerships, how different are the corporate partnerships between what the Staples look like for a Laker game in terms of corporate signage in there versus what does it look like for a Clippers game with corporate signage?
Well, a lot of the major corporate partners for Staples Center are for all of the sports.
Got it.
So if you're a Staples or a Toyota or one of the major partners, you're there for all of them. But as far as the team partners go, the Lakers are charging 5X what the Clippers are charging. And that's significant dollars. And it's not even close. As far as, you know, the inventory, they've really been dragging the Clippers along as long as they can. What people don't realize here is out here they bundle these things, which they do, I'm sure, for you guys with those things as well. They basically say, look, if you want to buy Lakers tickets, you got to buy Clippers tickets, right? So there's a lot of that going on where there's companies and corporations who are buying their suites for the Lakers, and the Clippers are just something that's a throw-in.
Wow. Interesting. All right.
It is that different. I mean, if you offer somebody a Laker ticket this year when the Lakers won, 28 games?
Yeah.
Versus if you offered somebody a Clipper ticket when they won 57 and that person wasn't a diehard basketball fan, they would take the Laker games every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Wow. Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, joining us on the show again. And we'll be talking about the dynamic that's happening in Southern California. And what kind of advice are you giving to your partners, and especially what kind of ticket advice are you giving on this thing right now?
You know, be careful more than anything else. We actually err on the side of conservatism more than anything else when it comes to aligning your brand to a sporting event. They are super powerful, and they really can help. And if you believe you can align your brand to this and not hurt it, then you better have a pretty compelling case. But if somebody's, you know, we've been following that old saying, you know, if you think you shouldn't at all, then you shouldn't. And that's what we've been telling them. If there's even that hinge of I'm not sure, don't. And it's too bad, because like I said, I know most of the guys at the Clippers, great people, right? Not at all like Sterling.
No, of course, right.
You can't provide, you just can't get around that right now in the public perception.
I mean, I sat there and watched the interview the other night, and I felt like I was sitting in Utah watching a Union Pacific go east and watching an Amtrak go west.
Unbelievable. The thing is, for the rest of the country who's surprised by this, he's been this way for years. We've all known it. He's settled in court 4 or 5 times now with discrimination suits and sexual harassment suit. He's a terrible, terrible owner. He's been a terrible owner for a long, long time. And it's been to the Lakers' advantage.
Is there a domino effect, though, on the league itself? Because some sponsorships are bought league-wide. Some TV sponsorships are bought league-wide. Does it have an impact?
I would be very curious to know, behind closed doors, if Adam Silver wants the Clippers to go any further. Right? Because, personally, if I'm Adam Silver, I don't want the Clippers going any further. I want the story to go away. I want to focus on Kevin Durant. Yep. I want to focus on the Spurs. I want to focus on my stars.
LeBron.
Right?
Yep.
I don't want this conversation happening anymore, to be honest. And there's plenty of conspiracy theory that maybe that's why we saw a few whistles last night that we may not have seen regularly.
Interesting. Very quickly, here it is the month of May. Where are you in planning stages for the future with some of your partners at this particular point? And what is hot and what is not?
We're in 2015 right now, and well into 2015.
Yep.
So what happens now as these sports tail off to an end? Everybody thinks, okay, now it's time to go and buy. No, all these companies have been renewing their sponsorships for the last 3 or 4 months for the next year or two. And what we're talking about is what does that look like and how does that roll into something new? So when we're talking to a partner right now, we're generally already planned for the rest of 2014 and for the beginning of 2015. And we're starting to look at those deals and say, okay, where are we going to continue those deals in 2015 and with what asks? And where are we going to move into different sports? And, you know, as you and I have talked about, the move, the large shift right now has been international. That is coming up more than anything. How do I get involved in international football? How do I get involved in international rugby? How do I get involved in things that open up a new market for me? And the funny thing is, a lot of that, when they say international, they're doing it in Europe, which is not a new market,
right?
So we're seeing a lot of that, and that's what the planning is around. You know, the things like, you know, what's coming up next with, you know, the MLB All-Star Game and events like that, those have been planned already. We're already, you know, our calls this morning are all around the Super Bowl next year, and those are finalization calls so that we can focus on the following year in San Francisco.
Yeah, and it's a combo, too, because next year the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl in the same spot, a week apart.
Yep.
So that's where you are right now. You know, what's not hot?
You know, I hate throwing leagues under the bus because it's difficult to do. You know what is hot is MLS is getting hot, really hot. And they're starting to charge more money for their TV rights, for their sponsorship rights, and people are doing it. And really what they've done is they found a way to package an event that is static. An MLS game is 90 minutes long with halftime. That's it. You know what you're getting into. You know what you're getting out of. And so we're seeing where that goes. You know, what's not hot is some of the bigger market plays right now are starting to get a little saturated. So when you're sponsoring, like, the NFL across the board, there's only so many players out there that can do that. They're, you know, starting to fight a little bit internally about what those commoditized brands are going to be. The biggest arms race right now is in college sports by a mile.
Yep.
You know, Arizona State just spent a boatload of money to bring McElroy over from Dallas. He's the father of the quarterback for the Jets, but he's a big sales guy that opened up the Cowboys stadium and sold the naming rights.
Yep.
And we're seeing that at all these different schools, and I'm certain you guys are seeing it as well.
Yes.
That there's this arms race happening on the college front, and that's what's getting hot right now with corporations is how do we align with this? Now, what the colleges have to be conservative about is overshooting this, right? They're hot right now, but they're getting pretty aggressive.
One final question, Tony, then I'll let you go. And I realize it's a situation-by-situation question, but in general, do you encourage multi-year deals for your corporate partners or one-year deals?
It depends on what I can get for the multi-year deal, right? I'm not going to sign a multi-year deal when the only thing that's in it for me is the standard, you get a discounted rate for the next few years and you've got it locked in. Those days are over, right? We can get what we need from the StubHubs, from other partners, all those different things. We can find different ways to sponsor and really activate around the brand.
Right.
What we're looking for are, if I'm doing this, we're partners. And what that means is, if you take off and explode and become this amazing league, I'm getting in at the ground floor and I'm going to be treated almost like a shareholder on that, right? I'm going to be treated with, you know, I'm going to get a price that's significantly lower than if I leave and you're going to go get my competitor. So if we're talking a multi-year deal, those are the kinds of things we're looking for. The days of teams and leagues having a lot of leverage, it's not like it was 10 years ago.
This is always the best half hour of the month. I enjoy this so much. Tony, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's talk very soon. Looking forward to it.
Tony Knopp, CEO, Spotlight Ticket Management. Illuminating. Kevin has now gone into massive depression because he just found out over the last 20 minutes that sports is a business and it's actually about money.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
It usually takes about 3 weeks for you to pull yourself back from those interviews.
It's May. It's my second favorite month of the year.
Why? Because they're actually doing something this month? See, your August comment is exactly
goes to the open comments.
Uh-huh. No, I don't deny that.
You're about the buildup, okay? Guess what? Okay? Nobody buys the buildup. They buy the game.
Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Have you ever sat back and really thought about that? For almost 100 years, Sunbury Motors has been here for you. Four generations strong. That alone won't make you buy your next new Ford from SMC. But that reputation, plus these deals, will. Buy a brand new Ford Fiesta for only $12,810. New Focuses start at $15,915 at Sunbury Motors. SMC has always been the dealer you think of if you want a new Ford truck. Brand new 2013 F-150 crew cabs are discounted $9,600, starting at $34,939. If you want to buy a new Ford, it's really pretty simple. A 99-year reputation of satisfying customers, the largest Ford inventory in six counties, and thousands of dollars of savings makes SMC your preferred Ford dealer. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. During the break, I had to find out from Kevin exactly when the Milwaukee race is.
Yeah, now you're good. Yeah, but on your calendar for August.
And also what color hat I want. In the end, it's about gear.
It's all about the swag.
Well, I thought it was an illuminating half hour with Tony. Anyway, we've had a lot of guests the last 2 days, and we got more guests coming in tomorrow. So, Dave in Sunbury. Dave, welcome.
Hi, Steve.
You were probably wondering yourself, Dave, when's the Milwaukee race? I'm glad we could solve the issue.
Happy to help.
Well, I was wondering, but no, did you get your shirt yet?
he hasn't been back in town yet, yeah.
No. When I come back to town, and based on the last time I was there, it could be years.
Yeah, well, he probably claimed that already anyway.
Well, no, you know how he operates. He gets a gift card and then uses my gift card to buy me my own gift.
Actually, I was going to send it to you as a Christmas present. So,
okay.
Now that's out of the bag. Oh, man.
Yeah, Captain El Cheapo. I mean, really.
I called about sports as opposed to this guy that TMZ and everything else. That's his favorite buddy, TMZ.
Never met him.
Somebody said you had a good visit as far as on that caravan yesterday.
Well, the experience up in Scranton was tremendous, and when they did the auction and the two guys were going back and forth as to their bids on season tickets and everything else that went into the package, then they both ended up saying yes at $8,000 apiece, and so it was $16,000
for
scholarships. That was a great moment.
No, but Jim was talking about that. Well, I'm being left-handed, and my son was left-handed. That curveball came natural to begin with, but I hold off until he was old enough. But then I got saying about, well, but Don Drysdale and all those guys, those pitch counts, they never had a pitch count.
No, they did not have pitch counts back then. That doesn't mean that they weren't smart and didn't wear out their arms, you know. But I also think that in some ways, I don't mind pitch counts. Pitch counts were actually developed more because of the designated hitter, because you didn't really think too much about a pitch count when you were pinch hitting for a pitcher in the sixth inning.
Yeah.
You had to think of a pitch count when you're going later into the game. And so when Billy Barton had the young arms, Rick Langford and those guys, and kind of blew them out in 3 years, that's when people started looking at pitch counts. I think you can take it too far. I think the Pirates organization, for example, I see it here myself, I think they take it too far. I'm sorry, he's only allowed 45 pitches tonight. You're like, what in the hell have you been doing down in Florida? Okay, I mean, you know, what's going on here? And I see other teams with their pitchers stretched out in the opening week of the New York Penn League, and I see them throwing, you know, 80-85 pitches, and they, you know, the Pirates, well, he can only throw 40, he can only throw 50. And you know, in the end, does it do any good? Look at Jameson Taillon. Jameson Taillon has been babied every step of the way in the Pirates organization. He had to have Tommy John surgery.
Yeah,
it's genetics. It's genetics.
Yeah. Well, I was going to talk to you a little bit about the Boston-Montreal series.
Yeah.
You know, it was a tremendous series.
And a great series. Carey Price played really well for Montreal in the series. I thought the Canadiens did a great job of attacking the body, and at the same time, they did a good job in front of the net. I also thought the Canadiens did a great job on faceoffs. So now they get the Rangers. It's interesting. I mean, let's face it, Montreal basically is carrying the hopes of everybody in Canada. I mean, they're the one Canadian team that's been left. And you know, yeah, darn well that they're going to be riveted to their TV sets watching this thing, even though I think Chicago's still the best team in this.
Well, I started rooting for Montreal way back when, you know, just after Rocket Richard and that. But it's
yes. Jean Beliveau. Jean Beliveau. Yeah.
You know.
Jean Beliveau, Yvon Cornwallier. I mean, let's see, all the way back to Gump Worsley and all down right through Larry Robinson. Some great players.
Kenny Dryden.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kenny Dryden is the only guy I can ever think of that won the playoff MVP the year before he was the rookie of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
1971, Ken Dryden won the playoff MVP award. They beat the Blackhawks in 7 games. And then the next year was because he only played 6 regular season games.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, he came up in the middle of the season.
Yep.
And they didn't put him in
the
field.
He only played 6
after.
Games. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Dave got to take a break.
Okay. Talk to you later, bud.
All right. See you, man. All right. We'll take that break right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
They called me Crazy Carl Fisher. I looked at acres of cow country and saw a harvest of greatness. It takes courage to make history. Who will charge forth today?
There you go. That was the end of the ABC 2013 Indy 500 opening. Dramatic, great visuals, because it was television, talking about a man who found the speedway in basically the middle of nowhere. See? You're choked up. I can tell. Or you quit.
What?
No, all kidding aside, though. I mean, I think it's because I grew up watching a lot of my favorite sports on television, and they always had great announcers that set the scene. Not that you're not a great announcer, but they always set the scene. You know, I grew up in the era of guys that really were writers turned television broadcasters. So you got great opens like that, like a Jim McKay.
Okay. Okay. Last time I checked, double-digit television ratings and sold-out stadiums, arenas, or whatever occur because of the event, the race.
I'm not arguing that at all.
Whatever. Yeah, nobody sits there and goes, I can't wait for the open. Okay, the open's done. Let's go home.
I'm very unique that way.
Let's go. Open's done. Let's go home. That's why August is your favorite month. You don't like the. I think the pressure of the games is too much for you.
That could be.
I think the pressure of the game is too much for you. You know, I mean, I realize the open is part of the show. I mean, it's a show. I understand that. Dick and Milton gets it. Hi, Dick. Welcome to the show. Great to hear from you again.
Hey, how you doing, Steve? Hey, I was actually going to call in to make kind of a plug here. I don't know if you actually mentioned this, but and it's supposed to rain a lot tomorrow, but Bucknell's playing Lehigh for the Patriot League Championships, scheduled for Friday and Saturday. Probably end up Saturday and Tuesday. Winner goes to the NCAA tournament, which is kind of a big deal. You know, they've won a lot of baseball games. They're pretty good this year, so.
Sure, it's a big deal. I agree with you. It's a big deal. Anytime you go into a conference championship, and it gets you the NCAAs.
Yeah, the first game's scheduled for tomorrow at noon, and it doesn't look very promising, the best I could tell you, even though their field is basically the only dirt on the whole field is the pitcher's mound. That's it. Which, you know, you can put a frisbee over that and kind of protect the field in a sense. But
even so,
if it's raining. So it looks if it rains hard, it's probably going to be Saturday. If they win two or lose two, it's over. If they split, they'll go to Tuesday because Bucknell graduates. Commencement's on Sunday, and Lehigh's is on Monday. And that's just the way it's turned out of all things. But I just thought I'd bring that up in case anybody had some time and wanted to see a good baseball.
I'm glad you did. I think that's great because once you get to the NCAA tournament, you know, now the door's open to, you know, have some fun. Maybe you win a game or two. And
yeah, they went down a number of years ago in Florida and won a game the first night there on a Friday night, and they got thrashed. But that happens occasionally. Anyhow, and one of their best pitchers is the kid from Danville, Andrzejczyk, who's a very good athlete.
Andrew Andrzejczyk is a very, very solid pitcher. Nice curveball, good mix of speeds.
Yeah, and also a very good athlete.
Yeah, that's true too.
Very good, and in a lot of sports, anyhow. That's basically what I wanted to call about today, and
I'm glad you did. You know, okay. Northwestern State has won 30 baseball games this year. They played LSU the other day. The game was delayed by torrential rain. LSU then jumped all over them. It was 11-0, 17-0. Then they stopped the game because of lightning. Then they got back out there, finally got the 27-0. They no-hit them. And the funny thing is, Northwestern State, I think they might make the NCAA tournament. They're tied for first place right now in their conference. So
Northwestern
sometimes you
State.
Have those days.
What kind of conference are they in?
I would say the Southland.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never actually heard of them. It's not Northwestern University. Northwestern State.
Northwestern State. Oh, yeah. Penn State's played them in basketball. So, you know, the Demons, man.
I'm not familiar with them. I don't know. They must not play anybody locally other than Penn State.
Dick, that's going to be your Google assignment, Northwestern State.
I'll look it up. Anyhow.
Patrick Netherton is their play-by-play guy. Great guy, too. All right. Hey,
Thanks
Dick,
a lot.
I have to take up. Hey, no, thank you. Again, Bucknell Lehigh Patriot Championship for the right to go to the NCAAs. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Have you ever sat back and really thought about that? For almost 100 years, Sunbury Motors has been here for you. Four generations strong. That alone will make you buy your next new Ford from SMC. But that reputation, plus these deals, will. Buy a brand new Ford Fiesta for only $12,810. New Focuses start at $15,915 at Sunbury Motors. SMC has always been the dealer you think of if you want a new Ford truck. Brand new 2013. F-150 crew cabs are discounted $9,600, starting at $34,939. If you want to buy a new Ford, it's really pretty simple. A 99-year reputation of satisfying customers, the largest Ford inventory in six counties, and thousands of dollars of savings makes SMC your preferred Ford dealer. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And at sunburymotors.com.
All right, welcome back. You're all mad at me in the break. I don't quite understand the anger.
What am I mad about now?
You were telling me in the break. I have two speaking engagements back-to-back today. Yeah. All right, so, I mean, they were not scheduled that way. The second one tonight was when they gave me the original date was supposed to be tomorrow night, and then they got to me a month ago and said, we really fouled up, so I'm just going to have to, you know, double dip tonight. And so you asked me what I was going to talk about, and I said, I don't know. I never think about what I'm going to say before I get up there.
I think I'll talk Penn State football. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Yeah, but you have to eventually craft it to what you're doing. I mean, to the group that's there. Now, you know, so I mean, one is the one group tonight is Meals on Wheels. So at some point, I'll have to talk about, you know, the great work that they do, because these people paid a lot of money to be at this thing tonight, which I didn't know until this afternoon. I wouldn't pay a dime to see me speak. Somebody fooled somebody. You're rolling your eyes.
No, I just like the fact that I wouldn't pay a dime to hear me speak.
I'm just saying.
Come to think of it, I don't think I've ever paid a dime to hear you speak either. Nor have I paid for your autograph.
But I, you know, I don't think it's... I don't write out speeches. Even when I delivered a commencement speech, I ad-libbed it. Stop rolling your eyes.
I ad-lib a speech, bad things happen.
First thing I said in the commencement speech, it was at Penn State Wilkes-Barre in 2011. I said, I have two words that ensure long-term success in life. I said, remember these two words. And, of course, everybody just, like, riveted and glued. I said, marry money.
What was the, there was a they did song about a commencement speech once. What the heck was the line on there? Oh, that's going to drive me nuts. And that's where I thought you were going with that.
No, that's what I said. And of course, everybody laughed. I could hear the academics behind me like, oh. I said, and I looked around. I said, now if that doesn't, I said, say that plan doesn't pan out. I said, and you do something and marry for, I don't know, love.
I remember.
Then I went through a series of other things that I've talked about repeatedly at various functions.
I remember what it was. Wear sunscreen. That's what it was. That was the one I was thinking of.
Mine's better.
I don't know. Yours wasn't set to music.
Yes, but mine does ensure long-term success.
It does that. Can't deny that.
Okay. Now, I got serious after that, and I talked about tests of character, pro and con, and so forth. Told them a couple jokes. Trying to remember if your name came up.
Doubtful.
No, maybe as an example. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi on the Preakness.